Beginnings. Last week, Mary Davis was here to begin the first Sunday of Lent with you and to begin our making our way through Matthew's Gospel together. And I know, because I was able to listen to it, that she went through the first couple of chapters, which is largely beginnings, the genealogy, and tracing Joseph, his lineage, back through David and back to Abraham, and setting up that connection to the Old Testament figures and the birth of Jesus and the visitation of the wise men, all of those things that happen either prior to or at the birth of Christ or shortly after. So that is the beginning moments. And they go through the end of chapter 2. And then we arrive at another set of beginnings. When you get to chapter 3, it is a new group of first things. But first, I want to step back. And one of the things I really enjoy about reading through an entire gospel and knowing that some of you are going along with us is that it gives us time to listen to one voice from Scripture. Often we'll read from here on one Sunday and read from another place, which is great, but to spend time in one particular book is to have one person's voice. And so a bit of background on Matthew's gospel. Generally speaking, each of the gospels, written from the perspective of a writer, and then also too often to particular communities. Writing by a person to a group of people with the needs of those people in mind. As an example, we last year read through Luke's gospel, and at the time made the point that much of Luke is intended, like the first audience that Luke has in mind, we believe, is a Gentile audience. He was writing beyond the Jewish community. And you see that interest in the stories that he chooses to tell and emphasize, so that there are lots of stories about people outside the Jewish community doing things and relating to Jesus. There are stories of inclusion that would appeal to Gentile hearers of Luke's gospel. Matthew, we believe, and this is gathered from actually reading Matthew's gospel and seeing what Matthew does, but we believe Matthew was largely aimed at a Jewish audience. That what Matthew was trying to do was incorporate the Old Testament, which then the Hebrew scripture, which comes to be known as the Tanakh, the Torah, which is the first five books, the Nevi'im, or prophets, and the Ketuvim, or the writings. So what Matthew was trying to do is to draw from those books, or the Hebrew scriptures, in order to appeal to an audience composed of Jewish listeners, so that they might come to see, if he's persuasive, that the Jesus he's telling them about is a fulfillment of what they have already read about and are familiar with from what we know as Old Testament scriptures. Matthew does this in a couple of ways. He will do it by talking about, here are some things that I believe are from prophetic books or other places where he says Jesus is the fulfillment of these things. So Matthew will often, perhaps more often than the other gospel writers, quote Old Testament scripture because he knows that the people he's writing to are familiar with it. In the future, in the next couple of weeks, we'll also get into ways he actually will structure the gospel of Matthew so that in ways it will suggest the Old Testament. And it's a fascinating thing to think about, and we'll get to that. But for today I just want to spend a few moments on, and any time a pastor says they're going to, a preacher says they're going to spend a few moments, you have to be wary. But I will try to make it a few moments on this hinge moment in Jesus' ministry. Something happens in the scripture we read today. Jesus is baptized. And from that moment then forward, there's a sense in which Jesus can't go back. That Jesus, when he's baptized, is propelled forward into the time that we know of as his public ministry. So whatever he had been doing in his life up to then, working with his father, doing carpentry, whatever Jesus was doing, suddenly he steps into this public place. Something happens, this baptism, and Jesus moves forward and that hinge turns for him. Matthew, like Luke, begins with a birth narrative, with a couple of stories of Jesus, where Jesus is being born. Jesus is a child. And so there's that parallel between Matthew and Luke. In chapter 3, we've left that behind. We've moved forward. And we're at a place where, actually, the place where Matthew gets to in the third chapter, if we were reading Mark, this is where Mark begins. Mark doesn't have any of the earlier material. He begins with John the Baptist out in the wilderness. And that's where Matthew gets to in the third chapter. So we're told John's out baptizing in the wilderness. John is Jesus' cousin. One day Jesus presents himself to his cousin and asks to be baptized. There's a bit of a back and forth. Jesus convinces him to do it. So John baptizes Jesus, and there's this wonderful moment where the skies open, a dove descends, and Jesus is named and claimed as God's own son. These words, "This is my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Immediately after this, and this is why I'm calling this a hinge, immediately after this happens comes a moment which you should not be anticipating. Like, the next thing that happens, if we were putting this story together, would not be the next thing that has happened. Jesus has been baptized. The sky has opened. God has spoken. Jesus, at this point, it seems, would be ready to go forth and capitalize on all this momentum. Like, this is it. It doesn't get much better than being baptized and literally sort of a natural pyrotechnic show of sorts with voices from heaven speaking, announcing you as God's son. It seems like that would be the time to strike while the iron is hot and begin to preach and start your public ministry, but not so fast. Not so fast at all. The next thing that happens, the thing that you can't have anticipated was going to happen, is that the fourth chapter begins with the words that Jesus was led in by the Spirit. So Jesus is led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness for the purpose of being tempted by the devil. I cannot overemphasize how much this should surprise you, how much you should be wondering why at this point would this happen, and that the reality of this is it should make you pay attention. It should cause you to focus on what exactly is going on here. Jesus does not accidentally go into the wilderness. This is like he was wandering aimlessly and all of a sudden was like, oh my goodness, I'm in the wilderness. The Spirit of God leads him there intentionally, on purpose. And for what purpose? To be tempted by the devil. Jesus intentionally led into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. So after the 40 days of fasting, this happens. Jesus is tempted. And three times the devil offers Jesus a temptation. And three times Jesus resists. And resists by quoting scripture, by going back to the Hebrew Bible and finding passages that apply to the temptation that's being placed before him. There is much to explore and be interested in. If we took both of these scriptures separately, there would be plenty. But for this morning, as we're thinking about the baptism story and the temptation story for today, I want us to consider how important it is that one immediately follows the other. That Matthew took the story of the baptism of Jesus and immediately follows it with the story of the temptation of Jesus. The Spirit could have led Jesus into the wilderness at any time. It didn't have to be this time. Spirit could have done that at any time. Jesus could have chosen to be baptized at any time. Didn't have to be this time. So it is important to pay close attention to the reality that Jesus is baptized and then led into the wilderness for the purpose of being tempted before going forward and starting his public ministry. 2 weeks ago, in what seems like an eternity to me. We had a wonderful opportunity to worship at Fourth Presbyterian Church in Chicago last week, but I missed you all. So 2 weeks ago, I asked you why the people of Israel were out in the wilderness for 40 years moving from Egypt to the Promised Land, when in reality you could make the trip probably pretty easily, even without size of a group, 3 or 4 months. It does not take 40 years. And that was the question. Why did it take so long? And you might recall the answer that I suggested was because God wanted them to. They were out there as long as God wanted them to be out there. God didn't feel like 3 months was going to be enough time. God thought they needed a generation to form themselves, to be ready to be the people that would go into the Promised Land. So another question then this morning, why is Jesus baptized and then immediately tempted? Why? Same answer. Because God wanted it that way. That is how God laid it out. That's how God intended for it to happen. Have you ever not had a pet and then wanted to get a pet? Has anyone ever had that experience? Let's say a dog. You ever not had a pet and then you see a dog and you think, that dog is adorable. And it would make a great companion. And I could spend time with it. And when I come home at the end of the day, it would come to greet me. And how amazing that would be. And you think about the wonderful walks you would have and the time you'll spend with your new loyal friend. And then you get the dog. And it's all that. It's all those things that you thought it might be. But it's also feeding. It wants to eat on a regular basis, every day, constantly. It needs shots or it's going to be sick. And sometimes it gets sick anyways, and then you have to take it to the vet. The dog has to constantly be accounted for. Those days where you used to say, I'm just going to go away for the weekend. Well, now you got to figure out, okay, I'm going to go away for the weekend, but what's happening with the dog? Is the dog going? Is the dog staying with somebody? Is somebody coming to stay with the dog? You got to account for the dog. The dog may eat your shoes. I don't have a dog, but I hear this is a thing, that for some dogs, shoes are really a tasty treat. You may have trouble teaching the dog the appropriate times when there are things it would best do outside the house. That could be a problem. That is one example. One example of, did you ever begin something without knowing all the things that would happen as a result of the something that you're beginning? Yes. You may have thought it would be one thing, and maybe it turned out to be that one thing, but it also turned out to be many other things as well. Blown up large, that's the story of life. That is the story of virtually every life. However life begins, and whatever we anticipate and whatever we foresee, life becomes so much more than what we anticipated, and so much more than what we could have predicted. It is virtually never all good or all bad. It is never all easy or all hard. It is rarely all what we expect, with no surprises. It is never all joy and no heartbreak, or no heart or all heartbreak and no joy. That rarely happens. It's everything. It's everything we anticipated to be, and then it just goes forward from there in every direction to be so much more. Which brings us back to baptism. Brings us back to the central thing this morning. In baptism, we are named and claimed as God's children. We are in baptism, each one reminded that God has made us and named us as children of the covenant. We are participants in God's covenant, no matter what. This is important. This is important to each one of us who have been baptized. This is an invitation to any who have not been baptized. It is an important word, particularly this day, to Tyler and to Ashley about Leah and London. You already know this, but you will know it all the more now that your hearts have taken to walking around outside of your body, that the world is an uncertain place. There is so much hope, and there is so much possibility, and so many things to be optimistic about and look forward to. And yet there is so much to be concerned about. So much that can cause you to worry as you move forward. That was the world that Jesus entered into following his baptism by John. That's the world that's waiting every moment of every day outside the door for Leah and London as they go forth today. That's the world that we venture forward into and live out our days every day, every week of our lives. Hear the good news. The waters of baptism prepare us. The waters of baptism make us ready to meet whatever comes next. Thanks be to God. Amen.